So tonight, in fact, all through September, Andrew and I are thinking about in church and what difference church makes to that. And Andrew, as I said last week, asked three sort of irritating questions that have been kind of bouncing around in my head and have been sort of the backdrop of what we've been thinking about. So the three questions are, why church, why this church, and why Jesus? So last week I used the metaphor of the table to talk about why church, really, why this church? What is? And I said something that I kind of want to correct before I dive into tonight's reading. I said that I don't think I lose anything or we lose anything when we make room at the table for more people, when we make sure there are more chairs or enough chairs, or maybe even more than enough chairs. But I think actually we do lose something. I'm not sure it's a bad thing that we lose something, but I think that when I make room for others, when I make room for you, and when you're not like me, I lose the assumptions that I held. I lose the possibility that I'm right about all the things that I said I was. And I think that can be a loss, but it's not always a bad loss, right? It's not bad to lose some of those assumptions. It can be hard, it can be challenging, but not bad. About why church in general, and what do we, as members of the Anglican Church, offer? What do we have within the context, specifically of our liturgy, that helps us to see a little bit? And I want to do that with the backdrop of the reading from Mark that Marianne just read to us, thinking about the Syrophoenician woman, not one of Jesus' best moments, and also the healing of the deaf man. So thinking about what makes us change our minds, and how do we hear? And thinking about that within the context that this reading comes directly after the reading that we heard last week, which talks about what defiles us, right? And my belief about that reading in Mark that's right before this around what defiles us is that it is how we treat each other, what comes from us, when we behave badly towards one another, when we don't care for one another, when we do not love our neighbors, that is what defiles us. And so directly following that, we have this reading from Mark tonight in which the woman goes to Jesus, a Gentile, an outsider, goes to Jesus and says, please heal my daughter. And he says, no way. You're not one of us. I'm not going to heal your daughter. And she says, wait a minute. Even the dogs under the table get fed. And this incredible thing happens. Jesus goes, you're right. Okay. And I don't know, maybe he was just having a bad day. Maybe he'd had enough of people. But he collects himself, at least in my interpretation of this scripture, enough to say, you're right. And then I think it's no mistake that he directly afterwards in this gospel opens a man's ears to hear. Right? Because that's pretty much what happened for Jesus. His ears were opened, and he heard her, and he changed his mind. So if we have that story kind of framing what we're thinking about tonight in terms of community and how our liturgy helps us to be changed and to see each other, I want to think about four particular areas to note. So we begin our liturgy in the Anglican Church by calling on God and by offering the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God and the community of the Holy Spirit to everyone, not just some of us, but we wish that for each other as we begin each Sunday. What an incredible thing to wish the grace of our God on one another. And I think if you look around, you may or may not know the people that you just wished God's grace upon. How stunning. God's grace that we can do nothing to deserve, but is bestowed upon us simply because we are. We wish that, and that's how we begin each liturgy, each week. And then in this particular community, and I think largely in this diocese, we go on to acknowledge the land on which we stand. And we say a prayer acknowledging that we are on the unceded territory of the Squamish and the Tsleil-Waututh and the Musqueam. And I don't know if you know this, but unceded means that this land was never given over to the crown. It was just taken and used. And so if you think about the grace that we just bestowed on one another, and then the acknowledgement that we just made about the land that we're on, and the prayer that we said to help us to be mindful of how we behave. I mean, if we take those words seriously, they have to change us, right? If we have ears to hear, that has to change us and how we behave in the world and what we do once we leave this place. Because prayer not only calls upon God to participate intentionally in this world, which we know God does, whether we pray to God or not, but it also changes us. When I remember you in prayer, that not only calls on God's action, but it changes mine, right? Because I've now held you in my heart. One of my favorite humans, who has now passed, Bishop Jim Cruikshank, used to say, "Be careful what you pray for, because prayer works." And I think that's true. So jumping a little further into the liturgy, I'm going to hop around a little bit. But jumping a little further into the liturgy, if we're thinking about prayer, we pray the prayers of intercession, praying for the church, we pray for the world, we pray for our country and its leaders, we pray for anyone who might need prayer this night, we pray for those who are dying and those who have died, and we offer prayers of thanksgiving. If we take prayer seriously, that has to change us. These are the things that we are mindful of. These are the things that we have listened to as we have made our way through the week and brought collectively with us to hold before God, because they are important to us. That changes how we are in the world. We read Scripture together. We read and reflect on Scripture together. And in this particular tradition, we don't get to just pick our readings, however nice that would be. And Barbara Brown Taylor actually has a really lovely quote about this that I want to read to you, because it stuck out for me as I was preparing. So she says this: "Then we come to the lessons appointed for the day, one, two, or three of them, along with the psalm. By following the lectionary, we submit ourselves to one of the most ancient disciplines of the church. Instead of picking and choosing our own ways through the Bible, we consent to take a guided walk. With regular stops in the Old and the New Testament, it is a path that expands our horizons. Frequently, it leads us into territory we never would have entered or would have preferred to avoid. But that is the beauty of the walk. We do not select the parts of Scripture we hear any more than we select the daily events of our lives. Both are given. And by accepting both, we learn to look for God in everything that comes our way, and not only in the things that we like. Thanks be to God. That is how we are asked to respond to the readings of Scripture, whether it brings welcome news or is gruesome. We do not say it because we approve of what we have heard or even because we agree with it. We say it because we believe that God is in it somehow and that... Isn't that great? She's really good. I could not have said that on my own. So we take the readings of Scripture, both beautiful and heartwarming and harsh and hard, and we say, thanks be to God. And we then take a leap to try and unpack that for ourselves, what any of those mean. And in this community, we also invite your words, your thoughts, and your wonderings, so that we have the opportunity to hear a little bit about how this scripture has touched you or what has happened for you. So if I'm listening, your story is going to change me. It might change what I pray for. It might change what I notice. And finally, the Eucharistic feast. So we come to the table, we take ordinary things, and we pray them into extraordinary. We remember the wedding at Cana and the meal of fishes and loaves on the sand. We remember Jesus' Last Supper with his friends. And we share the bread and the wine. And in this cathedral community, we're very clear, not just this community, but the cathedral as a whole, are very clear about our open table theology, which means that anyone who feels the call to come and share in this feast is welcome. That we don't ask anything of you before you come, just come. And we all share the same bread and the same wine. And here at St. Bridget, all of us are Eucharistic ministers. We have a bit of a rule in the Anglican Church that normally Eucharistic ministers get licensed by the bishop, but I would have had to send in every member of this congregation, and that wasn't going to work. So I just asked the bishop's permission to do this. Because we serve the bread and the wine to each other. We stand in a circle and we pass the bread and the wine to each other and we look at each other. And the person you stand next to might be someone you love deeply or someone you've never met. And you are reminded and they are reminded that this bread is for them, that this blood, this wine, is poured out in love for you. And if we take those words seriously, they change us. You can't walk down the street anymore and think, oh, whatever, that's just another human, or that's just another person I'm going to walk past. Because you just stood in a circle with people you knew and did not know and told them they were beloved. And we're reminded yourself. And so if we take that commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, and if we come here and we practice this ritual over and over again, or maybe even just for the first time, our ears are opened in new ways, our hearts have the opportunity to be cracked open in new ways. And we are changed by it. Amen.